Derek Warren here with Delane Donaldson of the FEM County Cultural Center and Museum. Thanks again for joining me this month.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I always learn something whenever you come in. So, and this time you kept it around Memorial Day, centered around that, and talking about Ewington Cemetery, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to talk about Ewington, the community.
The community, okay.
Okay. And the only thing that's left today of Ewington is the cemetery.
Right.
You know, the village has just long, long, long ago disappeared. But the neighborhood, the Ewington neighborhood, is still there as such, you know. But one of the things that's kind of interesting to me is when people come into the museum, they gravitate toward the room that has the HO train layout in it. Now, if you've not been to the museum, on that table, which is occupies a whole room, that in that room, there are models of all kinds of things throughout the county. And so, for instance, there's the Wright House depicted from Altamont.
Right.
We have Immaculate Conception Church from Diedrich, one that used to exist in Diedrich.
Okay.
We have gas station, the Jack Warner station is what I call it, in Mason, because that it's still there.
Is that what that used
exist.
To be? Okay.
Okay, and so lots of different kinds of things like that that we have depicted. We've got, you know, like the depiction of the building that used to house the seminary over at Totopolis, built back in the Civil War days. The only thing that's left today is just a kind of like a tower portion of one of those structures. And so we have a lot of different kinds of things there. And people come into the museum, and like yesterday when I was there, a couple of visitors came in, and they said, well, you know, we want to look at the whole museum, but we really want to see the train layout. And so I took them in there, and I said, okay, now we got over here, we got a Kickapoo village. The very first people who came to Effingham County were the Kickapoo people.
Wow.
And so we got that depicted. And then we have all these little communities depicted. And then one of the things that is on the table is a depiction of what we believe the community of Ewington looked like just based upon written descriptions of the community.
Okay.
Now, I want to talk about that because it's an interesting community, and it's interesting in terms sometimes of the personalities or one particular personality who was there very early on. And I want to describe that for people because this community was a very, very important part of Effingham County history. It was the very first county seat. And it was built because of the National Road. Now, National Road today is Route 40, but at one time it was simply called the Road or the National Road or the Cumberland Road, also refers to it. Started in Cumberland, Maryland, and went from Cumberland, Maryland as far as the terminus was supposed to be Vandalia. They didn't quite get it all done up to Vandalia, but it was going to connect the Western capitals. Going back to the early days of this country. So the idea came during Jefferson's administration. Before there was any Illinois, you know, this was conceived. Building a federally funded highway. That was something nobody had thought of, you know. And so this was the very first one. And so by 1830, the road had reached Illinois. So it came from Cumberland, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, and then into Illinois. When it got to Illinois, the federal government had pretty well run out of funds to provide everything it had done farther east. And so the road was not fully developed in terms of having any kind of pavement or, you know, that sort of thing. It was a road where the people, the surveyors came in first and they began to survey the area, putting down the stakes for the highway, clearing all the debris that was there, the trees, you know, brush and all that. And then they came into Effingham County around 1830. Some of the surveyors were here in 1829. But 1830 is the primary point where we know that there were things that were happening in our part of the state of Illinois. And the workers, as they were traveling, of course, had a lot of very specific needs, food being one of those.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
You know, there weren't any stores where you could buy things. So one of the interesting aspects of the study of Ewington is a man named Uncle, this is in quotes, Uncle Henry Wright, H.H. Wright. He was a man who knew how to provide for travelers. He built a lot of hotels. And he built a hotel here in Effingham. He had a hotel in Altamont. He had a hotel, I think, down in Newton area. You know, he knew how to please travelers as they were coming through an area. And so he learned that from his own family, because his father had seen that back in the 1830s that if a person could provide provisions to these workers, and there were a few hundred of them, at least 200 anyhow, and so when he providing things for them, the food that they would need, then he could make a pretty good living probably. And if Definitely. He could provide housing of some sort, it could be just shanties that were set up, you know, and not much to them. But housing would be another source of income. And so the Wright family moved to Effingham when a camp had been set up in the area that became Ewington. This is out by the Little Wabash River. Okay. If you go down from Effingham, you're down in the bottom, then you go up the hill there over the railroad tracks, okay? That area right there, that's Ewington.
Okay.
So when the Wrights came here, there was a camp that had been set up there of workers. And so the Wrights brought with them animals. They had just about anything that was an edible piece of meat, you know, and that was part of the camp. They brought with them lodging facilities. Mrs. Wright established a place called the Traveler's Rest, a sign, you know, for travelers who would come through here.
Yeah.
And there were people who were migrating westward, of course. And with them, then they brought their two sons, and one of them was Henry. And Henry, and this is an amazing thing to me, Henry, when he was 14 years old, got a job transporting mail from Vandalia, was the origin point, through Ewington to Martinsville, to Palestine. Now, wow. If you know the map of Illinois, you know you're going a long
no
way
kidding,
here.
Yeah.
Okay. 14 years old. And then from Palestine, he would come back to his home place.
Yeah, and this was horses that they were getting around.
That was
too,
on horseback, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it took even longer.
And the thing that was kind of interesting, because Wright left behind him, I guess you call it a memoir, you know, it's several pages long anyhow, in which he describes going through this area. And he said, you know, that out in the countryside, there were wolves out there, you know, and it would scare him, you know, at night, hearing the wolves howl. And there were other kinds of threats that were out there that for a 14-year-old, on his own, you know, basically, sometimes
yeah.
he took a little brother with him. But, you know, these were not highly protected people. And so he had that route that he made, you know, with carrying the mail and delivering different locations, making this big circle. I was amazed when I read that.
Yeah, 14 years old.
14
wow.
years old. You know, the conception of what constitutes an adult. Now, when I used to teach sociology, I used to mention to kids that the concept of adolescence is not an old concept. That is, we don't have to go back but a couple of generations where we find that people went from childhood into adulthood, you know.
Yeah.
And very clearly back in that time period, there were adult situations, I guess, you know, being on your own, that could come at a pretty early age.
It would come at necessity and anything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, oftentimes it was that. But also by virtue of the family making a choice and saying, okay, we think you're old enough, boom, you know, you can handle this task. So Henry described a lot of different kinds of things. And this might be a separate program one of these days. But a separate program would be this memoir type thing that he left. Because as he grew up here, there were these mineral rushes out west, to Pikes Peak, for instance.
Right.
He headed out to Pikes Peak, you know, and he was a fairly young man at that particular point, too. He would have been somewhere in his 20s, probably, or maybe even 30. But he headed out west, you know, to Pikes Peak. Civil War came along. He came back, and he joined a local unit. Then he went into the Civil War, has some very interesting stories about the Civil War and being in Washington, D.C.,
wow.
right at the very end of the war, all kinds of things. I think just an interesting character altogether. But anyhow, back to Ewington. Now, when the family came here, then they provided those things there for the workers, And the roadway, in all reality, kind of came to a almost a well, that's what would it say? A partial conclusion, I guess, out at around Funkhauser and a little bit beyond Funkhauser, maybe. It was supposed to, the terminus, you know, is marked over in Vandalia with the Madonna of the Trail statue, if you've been over there to see that, and so on. That was the official terminus, but the reality was it was a little bit different than what in reality happened. Ewington was named after a man whose last name was Ewing. And he was an important politician. He was a lawyer. He was an individual who was well respected in a lot of different governmental circles and the like. And some indications are that he was the very first lawyer who existed here in Effingham County. And so named after him because I think he was a very, very highly respected person by most everybody in this part of the state at that time. And the thing that is important about it, I think, is it shows the nature of civilization. That is, as civilization progresses from an area that has decent housing, food supply that's, you know, is there and available and so on, to something that is kind of on the wild edge, Ewington was on that wild edge. Yeah. So if you look at the nature of newspaper accounts, oftentimes the newspaper accounts have to do with criminal activities that were taking place. I found an early newspaper article that was from up in the Springfield area about a man from Auburn, up you know up in Sangamon County, that who had been found dead at Ewington. This is 1840, and he was a man who made a lot of money off of gambling, and they think he had a gambling debt or someone who had gained a lot of money from and you know in gambling that possibly murdered him. And there were other kinds of things like that. Now, because it was established as the county seat, then it was the place where the county courthouse would be built. And so there was a structure that was put up there. And when we look at the nature of that, you know, the county has a lot of just general business it has to conduct. And so the platting of property had to be recorded there, you know, and all those kinds of things. And the sales of properties were recorded there. Just a lot of different kinds of things that were part of what a court house is supposed to house and still houses in the present world, you know.
Right.
The government buildings that we have in downtown Effingham are reflective of that. Now, it was a place where the people were open to the elements. So an interesting thing that I found in one of our early histories was among those workers who were living there, there were in 1830, a terrible blizzard hit this part of the country. It was called a Dakota blizzard. It's spelled a little bit differently than the way we spell Dakota today, but that was a reference to it. It was like you'd find in the Dakota Territory, you know, really harsh blizzard. Very deep snow, and one of the workers from that work camp there at Ewington decided he was going to travel over to Vandalia, the state capital. There was a lot of work that was there also, you know, building government, the capital, the old capital, you know, and all that kind of
right,
thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so those kinds of jobs were available, but this man started out in this Dakota blizzard hit, and he froze to death. Now, this is a time also when a lot of historians mark it as the period when the buffalo disappeared from this area. We know this, that when a lot of the earlier settlers over in the Beecher City area came, that they oftentimes found piles of buffalo bones, and they would use those as their property markers to mark the corners of the property.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, how did the buffalo bones get there? Well, probably because of a very, very harsh winter, 1830, snow, very deep snow, and a lot of animal life perished as a consequence of that. And so this road work brought people in. It established a community here with Ewington. It established a court system for us, and the lawyers began to come in. And all kinds of things were taking place. Lots went up for sale. So by 1832, Vandalia had a newspaper, and in that Vandalia newspaper, the lots for Ewington were being advertised, you know, come and settle here, because there was an awareness that because it was on the national road, that there would be a lot of opportunities for people commercially. Now, the big goal, of course, was when the railroads were going to come through, and they knew that wasn't too far away. But whenever the railroads came through, if a railroad came and you had the National Road, that point, which Ewington assumed would be where they were located, that point would be a commercial center.
Definitely, yeah.
And so they began to look for that, and they began to wait for that. And the people in our part of the country just lived oftentimes in an uncivilized kind of way, but they were looking for civilization to come. And so there was a lot of rowdiness. Henry Wright, in his little memoir section, said that Ewington on the weekends was a place where there was real heavy drinking and a lot of fighting. And so there was a need for law enforcement to come in here. But now the major thing that we see with reference to the American pattern of civilization and what caused people to tame down, you know, and not be wild and killing each other and all that, was the fact that churches came in. When we get into the middle of the 1830s, we find, for instance, reference to the Methodist Church being the very first church group that came into the area. And they began to then make plans for having people meet in their log cabins, and they would provide a circuit rider who would go around and visit those different stations there, the Methodist Church. Catholicism came into the area, especially with the Totopolis area, had been there prior to most of the communities in our area, but at the end of the 1830s then. So Catholicism established themselves. There was a Catholic delegation that stopped in Ewington, said they were going to come back and see about setting up a Catholic church there in that area. But Totopolis was the drawing point, you know, for Catholicism.
Yeah, makes
sense. It all moved that way. And so that began to civilize things and quiet down the frontier. But as it moved west, it continued that wild streak. So that why do we have the Wild West? Well, at one time in the 1830s, it was here, and then it moved farther west.
It was kind of the split between east and west with the Mississippi River there. So once they crossed that, then it was a bit more wild.
Yeah. So that once again, so you watch that, and always though the taming down of it is because religion comes to the area, churches are established, people begin to treat people as human beings rather than just something that's a nuisance, maybe, or whatever.
Right.
You know, it was that kind of a
competition.
Thing. Exactly. Yeah, I guess that would be the thing that would be there. And then we also find politics being established pretty early on. So by the time we get to the election of 1840, for instance, we see the political parties being fairly strong, and the political parties usually would have meetings at the courthouse, and they would plan, you know, their strategy for how they were going to win elections at the local level and what they would contribute in terms of votes to the national and state elections, you know, and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, and politics, you weren't too far away from Lincoln being elected, too, from Illinois. So
correct,
that's not,
yeah.
About 20 years later or so, 30 years.
And well, let's just skip ahead to Lincoln, okay, now.
Right.
That's a good lead-in there. because one of the things that in looking at Effingham County history that is very, very interesting is that the circuit that Lincoln rode as a lawyer did not come into Effingham County proper, but in the counties that were neighbors to us, Shelby County, for instance, okay, there.
Okay.
So, and one of the major stories that is there from the early days in our county centers on Lincoln visiting the courthouse at Ewington. And that is that because while he was writing, sometimes he came into this area. Sometimes he would visit then the area courthouses, and he came into the Ewington courthouse. A man Joseph Horn, who was from Totopolis, because people in that area also, or in that era, I should say, that the people would oftentimes, because there was nothing occupying their time necessarily, if the fields were in and everything was going okay, and they'd go to court. They'd, you know, see what was happening in the courtroom.
Right, yeah.
And so Horn was visiting the courtroom over at Ewington, and he said that Lincoln came in. Lincoln had been riding. This is horseback time, you know. He had caught his coat in a bramble bush, torn the coat, and when he came into the courtroom, he asked if there was a tailor that someone knew of who could fix his coat. Horn was a tailor in Totopolis.
Cool, perfect.
And so he then took the coat and he repaired it for Lincoln. And he said in the aftermath of that, Lincoln would come and visit him, on occasion. So there was that connection that was there, you know.
Yeah, locally, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, so much of Effingham County history is kind of a hidden history, and there are things like that that very few people know about and have never really been developed to the full. And so that's one of the jobs of the Effingham County Museum. We're going to make people aware of that.
Yeah.
We had a guy in yesterday, and we were talking about different things in county history. And I said, well, this is hidden history. He said, boy, you guys, yeah. He said, I look at this. He said, I'm thinking, this is amazing. He said, all the history you've got here. He said, but nobody's been telling that story, you know. And yeah. He said, a very interesting history and just loaded with things. Then the railroads, of course, began to move into the area. And so when the Illinois Central Railroad came through our area, now we're moving up to the 1850s.
That's the north-south one, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when the Illinois Central came in, then that's early 1850s, then it didn't go through Ewington, and rather it came over in this area. And so where it crossed the National Road was a logical commercial center.
Yeah, right here in Effingham.
So what was the deal was then people began to say, wait a minute, if we're living in Ewington, we're going to be overtaken by another community very close to us that has both the rail and the highway.
Yeah.
And so as we look at the nature of Ewington, it was still developing. 1850s, there was a Ewington paper called the Effingham Pioneer that provided advertisement over of communities from around the area within 30 miles of Effingham for milling grain, you know, or whatever else was out there,
yeah.
And commercial services that were available in some of the other towns. So the newspaper was here. But by the time we get to the end of the 1850s, 1859, there was enough pressure to move the community to the Effingham area because this was a commercial center that was a vote that was taken. And, you know, and then it was okay to move the county seat to Effingham proper, the community. And then the other town then began to shrivel because some of those people moved in mass to Effingham.
Yeah, to say, where the jobs are.
Yeah, that's where the money's going to be. And Ewington Cemetery still exists up to the present. That's why the DAR then, each Memorial Day, has services out there. And I found that in a journal of the DAR, Daughters of the American Revolution group, that in the DAR journal back in 1916, they had put a special marker out at Ewington because the local founders of the DAR are buried there at the Ewington Cemetery. And so it's very important in their history.
Yeah, definitely.
But also, if you go out there and you look at the gravestones, you see individuals who were very important political leaders and lots of veterans. And so there are veterans from the Civil War. I just am amazed when I go out there and I look at all the people who are there. And sometimes really sad stories. One of the tombstones I found out there one day as I was looking around, it was a tombstone that had been broken in half. Two brothers who had gone into the Civil War and they had died. One of them in battle, but the other of disease because measles was a real problem back in that time period. And this one had apparently died of measles. And I'm thinking, what a terrible thing to happen to a family to lose two young sons, one of them probably in his teenage years, another one maybe a little bit beyond that. But to lose two young sons. And I also look at those stones and I'm thinking, this guy was a representative, you know, in the state legislature. What stories could he tell us about what was happening out here?
Yeah.
And just fascinating kinds of things that are there. But you can't visit the community as such. You can only visit the cemetery in the present.
Yeah, that's incredible, all the history with that.
Oh, it would be, something that could be developed, I think, into a really interesting book.
Yeah, you could have your own section just for Ewington in the museum.
Precisely, yeah, you could do that. And I think that, you know, with all of this, the little community with its cemetery that has been well taken care of in recent times, and thankful for the people who are willing to do that. If you attended the memorial at the cemetery this time, they you know, pointed out some of the people who were relatives of the DAR group, that they were taking care of it and cleaning the place up and making sure it's mowed and, you know, and all those kinds of things. And other people in that neighborhood are very proud of, I think, of the Ewington Cemetery also.
Yeah, definitely. Keeping the history alive, making sure people know about it. And then you're going in there and finding all kinds of different stuff about the community as well from way back in the 1800s. So that's incredible. I didn't know about any of that, that Ewington was the center for a while before Effingham became big.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the thing that is kind of important, if you look at, I've got a historic newspaper subscription, which will take you back into the 1700s, you know, from 1700s on. And you know, there are international papers in that. There are also national papers. And the amazing thing is, you look at the things that were coming out of St. Louis that would talk about Ewington, for instance, in the St. Louis papers, mm-hmm. or from Springfield talking about things, you know, Vandalia talking about things that were happening in Ewington. And so on. And so many, many people, when they go on 40 over toward Altamont, go over the railroad track there on that bridge, don't realize at one time that was a thriving community. We're right there. That was the center of it right there.
Yeah, that's incredible. I had no idea that Ewington was that big of a hub, especially politically, because you're kind of in the middle of nowhere, especially at that point.
They were very strong Democrats. And so they set a tone, and that was their assumption was we, and they in the newspapers that you know, I've read, we are Jacksonian Democrats. And so in 1840, for instance, that's the famous Tippecanoe and Tyler II election, if you remember your American history there, William Henry Harrison.
Yeah.
That Harrison was a very popular figure. But in the local papers then, it was our local news of that time period, it was, you know, we're gonna vote for the Jacksonian Democrats. We're not going to vote for this other party. It's not a Jacksonian Democrat. So.
Yeah, incredible history. The more you know about this area, and you find out more about it every day, too.
Yeah, we hope that we can uncover more and more.